Classic Hits 93.9, the four states' greatest hits. Joe Norman here with Kansas on the road now in support of their 16th studio album, 2020's The Absence of Presence. Joining me on the phone now, a man who's been present for each and every Kansas album, guitarist Rich Williams. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Joe.
First off, thank you very much for setting aside some time to talk this morning.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, it's in a hotel room. What else is there to do?
Playing Indianapolis tonight. Is tonight Kansas Classics or an anniversary date for the Point of No Return?
Yeah, Indianapolis tonight, Cincinnati tomorrow, and somewhere in New Jersey someday. Most of the rest of the year is the Kansas Classics. I think we have four more Point of No Return anniversary shows left, and they're just rescheduled. We were supposed to have done them right before COVID, and then everything closed down and we went home, and so we're finally getting to get those out of the way.
There are still a few of those anniversary shows on the schedule, so a bit of a bright spot. If you do want to do a bit of traveling, you can still catch one of those shows. But yes, the show on the 18th in Pittsburgh will be Kansas Classics. I just want to say, I know you've done a lot of interviews with, self-described lifelong fans over the years. This is going to be one of those interviews, just to put that out there.
Oh, well, I won't bite, I promise.
Just yourself and Phil Ehart, you've been there the whole time, contributing to every album, and the two of you have a history that goes back even further, even before Kansas. Did you guys ever anticipate that you'd still be playing together after all this time?
Not really, no. I was in the 80s. It appeared we were done. We were pulled into the office by a head guy at CBS and said, just go home. Nobody cares. And they owed us records at the time. And that was very discouraging. And we really didn't have a team to put on the field at that time. Some people had wandered off to do other things. And it wasn't until a few years later, we got a call from a promoter in Germany. They said, I'd like to put together a couple of weeks over here in Germany if you guys want to kind of sort of reform for this tour. And we said, why not? We're not doing anything. We did that, and it was a lot of fun, very successful. So we thought, well, when we come home, let's just do one more show. We did that, and it sold out really quickly. And the consensus was, well, what if every summer we did a couple of weeks? Just, to all get together, say hi, and have some fun. And so we did, and the 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks, it turned into 6 weeks, and we haven't stopped since. And that's when we realized that, management, record company, booking agency, they just didn't know anything. They were clueless. They completely misinterpreted how large our fan base was. And so we've been managing ourselves ever since, and it's been great. I've worked a lot more since we pseudo-retired than I ever worked before. We've never been so busy as we are now.
You mentioned in an interview from a few years ago that even though Kansas is about as far from an ocean as you can get as far as the state goes, there is kind of an enduring aquatic theme with Kansas the band. When did that start?
Well, that really came from the Point of No Return cover. And, the artist, we gave him a title and said, come up with something. And it didn't sound that interesting in the description. It's like, okay, you've got the ship, and it's just kind of, it's teetering. It's in that, right on the edge of, it's kind of like going over something. Well, okay, let's see something. Then we saw that, his mock-up of it. It's like, wow, okay, that's it. And from that, that being just a gigantic record, the theme, from just our logo to certain things just kind of carry over. They carry over into artwork on Best Of, say, or on a live album. And so it just kind of became part of it.
Yeah, even on the new album, The Absence of Presence on the cover, the figure looks like they're morphing back into water. Not all the album covers do tend towards that kind of a theme, though. John Brown was on the first one. I've had that cover hanging on my wall my whole life. What's your favorite cover from Kansas?
Well, you, a lot of times you tend to go to the last one. I really like the last cover. But Song for America was a favorite at the time. That was just such a iconic Kansas cover that caught the attention of so many people. Point of No Return, as we mentioned earlier, is definitely pops out. I remember watching, the cartoon The Simpsons. He's in a record store, and boom, in the background, you can see that album. in cartoon form. It's very identifiable.
I just wonder how many people have sat staring at the cover of Point of No Return with, like, say, an altered state of mind and then experienced their first moment of existential dread.
Yeah, I've seen some other mock-ups of things that were never used, but they were very interesting because it was that cover, but it was from different perspectives. It was one perspective was like below the ship. So you're down below it, seeing it coming toward you. And it's teetering on the edge, and there's very interesting stuff we might, eventually use one day.
Yeah, Kansas is the full package, from the album art to the music within to the experience of being there for a live show. Considering all the history and the future, do you and Phil feel like the dads of the band, or the captains of the ship, if we go back to the ocean imagery?
Well, we have a good idea of where we want to go. As material shows up, somebody comes in with a piece, this is pretty cool, but it doesn't really sound like us, so what do we do with it? How do we approach this? We just have a knack for knowing if something is or isn't something we want to do. Is this Kansas? Is it not Kansas? Can we make this Kansas? And so we have kind of an innate ability to do that. I think we did a very good job with the last two studio albums in making it sound like a logical progression of a continuance of Kansas. We don't want anything to be this a huge departure from who we are. We want it to be sound just like the logical next step.
So your place, what you do, you figure out what the next step should be.
Yeah, it's just a kind of a yes or no. How about this? Oh, I can hear that. I can hear us doing that. And being a live band, I always start with the imagining us playing it live. But this is not a style in which we are very good at. This is right up our alley. It's taking a live visual approach to it helps me a lot.
I've heard you call yourself a song fixer. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, this is close, but there's something wrong with it. And I've kind of had the knack to find what that problem is and fix it. It's not an absolute, but more often than not, I can make it work.
Now the sound, like all the way through the latest release, it's still consistent. It still sounds like Kansas and nothing else. The absence of presence came out. Point of No Return hit its milestone. And then COVID came around, put all your plans on hold. Have you been able to get back to the enthusiasm that you had when the album first came out before all the reschedules?
Oh, yeah, it's always great to be up there. It was for 18 months, we were in limbo. And that was, it wasn't like, hey guys, let's take a couple of years off. We were on the way to the airport, headed for the West Coast, flying to, I believe, Seattle or Portland, Oregon, to continue the Point of No Return anniversary tour, and got stopped in the parking lot to turn around. And by the time we got home, Washington and Oregon had closed their doors. And in a short time, of course, that back then it was like, in a couple of weeks, this will peak. And then a couple more weeks, maybe 2 months. It became, after about 6 months, we didn't know if we were ever going to work again. What was the world going to look like? So it was just waiting and waiting and waiting. My wife and I took that time to just reassess everything. We had a home in Atlanta, which we were based out of. We had a little vacation home up in the mountains of North Carolina. So just to keep our sanity, we just spent a week here, a week there, a week here, like week there. And over a year into that, it was just like, what are we doing? We don't know if we're ever going to work again. We want to live up in the mountains one day. So we just sold everything and moved up there and waited it out. And when we started to get back to work again, we kept our whole crew and, band and everything. Everybody was so glad and grateful to be back to work again. It had been a long wait of wondering if it would ever happen. And so now it's pretty much back to normal now, and people are starting to come out of the woodwork a lot more, and the shows have been going fantastic.
Yeah, people are definitely thrilled that concerts are back, that live music is now an option again. It's crazy to think that really not so long ago, we didn't know if we'd ever be able to go to a concert again.
Yeah, that was, you can't know what you don't know. And that I'm sure in history, people have gone through this before, but we hadn't in our lifetime. And with media, the way it is, I mean, if somebody farts in Africa, you hear about it on the news in 5 minutes. So you're constantly being bombarded with information, misinformation. So there was so much unknown about all of that that we just kind of personally shut it off. And okay, if this is what life is from now on, let's make the best of this. And if things turn around, that'll be great. If not, we have mentally prepared ourselves for that. Tough time.
Is there more music in the works? Have you guys put any thought into album 17?
There's always the want to do it, you know, the creative process. And then you have to start looking at things, you know, in a practical sense. And then weigh the two against each other, because the days of, I mean, there used to be record stores everywhere. I can't even imagine how small a percentage of any sales are today. What, like maybe 5% of what they were in the 70s? It's just, it's really hard to move hard product. Everything just being downloads now, and so much of that is not entire albums, but songs, all the. And so the cost of making a record, it's pretty hard to weigh that against the sales or the lack of. In the 80s, I mean, everything was going gold or platinum. And now it's an extremely rare thing for just a few people that are hitting those levels in hard product sales. So it's very discouraging. But we still do it anyway, and that's because we love to do it. And it's something that it's still on the table. In fact, we are working on a new song right now that everybody's very excited about. So that just means, okay, well, let's try another one. We get, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 songs done. Well, we're halfway through the record, and it just happens. We have a record company behind us that is saying, you know, the second you have it done, you know, we want in. We want 10 more records. So we've got a fantastic company that understands the business and wants to do it anyway, which is great. That was the long answer to, yes, we're hoping to do another record, another few records. Yeah, that's the hope.
It's like you said before, it's all about knocking out one and then another, and then before you know it, there you go. Always excited to hear new stuff, and of course, you guys have a great back catalog, including the latest album, The Absence of Presence, and if anybody slept on it, the album that came out a few years before that one, The Prelude Implicit, too.
It'd been a long time since we'd done a new Kansas record, I think 17 years. And managing ourselves, working with a record company, that what they wanted from us was a quintessential Kansas album. They didn't want us to try to be anything other than that. That is really what they wanted from us, which is exactly what we wanted to do. And again, it'd been a long time, so we got it in us, and we started working on it, and as it turns out, we did, which made it that more exciting to do the next one. We have the confidence in knowing that we can do it. We can create something that represents Kansas in all its years. It's still us. It still sounds like us. There were times in the middle of our career where record company was we're trying to direct us away from who we were, because basically most record companies are like shoe salesmen. They want to sell the coolest new shoe, and they try to push you in this direction or that direction to, well, here's, listen to this band, listen to that. Well, that's not us. And being left to our own devices, we push ourselves to be quintessentially Kansas, to not to be anything else, to not pay any attention to some new trend that isn't us. And so it's a luxury that we have that we take advantage of. Even if it stinks, at least we tried to be originally ourselves.
Once again, thank you, Rich Williams. Congratulations on nearly a half a century of Kansas.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Pick up The Absence of Presence and Point of No Return Live and Beyond. They're both out now. Kansas is on tour through mid-November. Check all the dates at kansasband.com. And August 18th, see them at Kansas Crossing Casino in Pittsburgh. Tickets at kansascrossingcasino.com.